right, guys, welcome back to the 62nd episode of the 443 podcast. Luck endeavored to keep us from recording, but we are back. Both of us have been afflicted by grievous wounds and sickness, but we have returned with our foggy memories of the Premier League weekend. I'll give you a quick recap.
Yes, guys.
Reese, how's it going, sir?
Shorter episode today. Matt, what happened to me, man, is I ate a breakfast burrito from Federico's, and for some reason this time did not like my stomach. That's my spot, too, so I'm a little bit disappointed. Maybe a little bit of a break from Federico's, but we got a big weekend of games,
man.
They're
usually pretty good.
I'm with you, dude. I'm with you.
Yeah, I burnt my finger making poutine. As I've been told, I call it from front of my brother, poutine.
What was that place that we went to a while back where we got poutine fries? Do you remember that? It was like first or second time we hung out, man.
Yeah, it was right down the street, actually, the North Mountain Brewery.
That's what it was, yes.
Yeah, it was like, no, it was our first physical meeting.
Yeah.
Because you left the dirt work. We worked together for like 2 years, but you left before we were forced to be back in office.
Sorry, I heard you say poutine, and I was like, wait a minute. It brings back some old memories.
Well, it's just, dude, poutine's great. It's just potatoes, gravy, some sort of meat.
And fries.
Yeah, potatoes. I make it with chopped potatoes, a little bit of paprika, onion, garlic powder on there, crispied up in the air fryer, some delicious brown gravy. Right now I'm using hamburger, but I want to get back to some braised beef. And I use cheddar cheese instead of the traditional Canadian cheese.
We don't really have
we have it here, but it's just more expensive than just good old cheddar.
Let's get into it, guys. Big weekend of football. Starting back at a 5:30 a.m. game on Saturday that Matt was unfortunately awake for. We have Newcastle.
Ooh, I missed the first half. You sat through this whole thing. It was a terrible game from the recap and my dad and you told me.
Yes, I actually slept horrible this day, so I was up for this game. 1-0 to Newcastle with a singular goal from Isaac. Matt, what was your thoughts on this game from what you saw?
This game was just, it was rough.
Yeah.
How do I describe it? So it was two teams that didn't want to win the game, and they were both trying to get one goal and then go defense.
Yeah.
And the problem was that Arsenal didn't get that goal, but they look like, did they? Like, I've been talking to you all week. They just look like that sense of urgency, that fire's left them.
Yeah, and that's sort of the thing that we talked about preseason before the season started, where I think we both had Arsenal finishing third behind Liverpool and City, because it's hard to get back on that horse again, and it's something that only City has been able to do on
Liverpool
consistent basis.
Remember the seasons that Liverpool, they lost the Centurion,
yep,
then they won it, and then they were barely scraped fourth place on the final day of the season.
Yeah, I think that was the 2022 season.
You can only do it two times in a row, I think, if you're not an omnipotent team with 18 B plus better players
there
in it.
There you go. Exactly. But credit to Newcastle. We will have to see who Arsenal play this weekend, which we'll be getting into. We have next one here, guys. Another huge upset. Bournemouth is continuing their tear, Matt. The Cherries defeat Manchester City 2-1.
Top of the table is Cherry Red, sir.
Exactly. Crazy. I don't know what else could be said about this Bournemouth side. We talked about it preseason that they are a very underrated team, and continue to capitalize.
I thought that they played better. I just got to watch the recap of this. So what I saw was a team that couldn't break down Arsenal until they lost a man. And I kind of thought they took their chances. They didn't get lucky. The chances presented themselves and they capitalized on them.
Yeah.
The down a man, they overwhelmed the defense, you know, rock gone. So, but what I saw them against City was they played an 11-man city and they beat them.
Exactly. And this is, again, what we talked about last week, where I was like, why not it be one of those teams like a Forest or, you know, who kind of pulls that
Leicester.
Speaking
of the table, Forest is in fourth place, right?
I think they're third, actually.
Oh, third. That's right, because you guys jumped us.
So I think right now, like, we talked about it last week, why not a team like that to make the Leicester type of run? Again, very unlikely. Odds are high for a reason, but City haven't looked perfect. Arsenal obviously not looking perfect. And although Liverpool have been the best team in the league, they have glaring holes as well. So it's going to be an interesting rest of the season. Credit to Bournemouth into the next game.
To our prince, Areola.
Oh, yes, yes. Sorry.
We cannot forget to praise his name.
Yes, sir. My apologies, Sir Areola. In the next game here, guys, a relegation battle, a Ipswich drawing Leicester City 1-1. Matt, A red card from Calvin Phillips. I don't even remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember this game at all. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. Like I said, we're recording on Thursday. The next games are closer to starting than remember these. Let's just some of these games we don't remember pieces of them. Just go over the scores. Yeah. Do you remember anything on this one?
Just the fact that Ipswich had two shots on goal, one of them going in, and Leicester having a 97th minute equalizer.
Wait a minute.
What
player did you say?
Ipswich had one shot on
goal. No, you said a player.
Ipswich had two shots on goal. And that only one was scored.
You said Calvin Phillips.
Yeah, he had a red card.
Who's he playing for now?
Ipswich. He got loaned to Ipswich from City.
No, they. Oh, okay. Because yeah. He was loaned with West Ham. Was over.
Yep.
Man, England's like unstoppable demigod, Calvin Phillips.
I think what people think Calvin Phillips was is what Kobbie Mainoo is. Does that make sense? Okay. Like, he was like the next guy for England that was supposed to be paired up next to Declan Rice. That was supposed to be the defensive duo for the next 10 years for England. I think that
I mean, they couldn't replace him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, England fans.
We'll move on quickly from that one, guys.
You guys can make fun of me. Our country just had some issues this week. So you can crap on me, England fans. What's up next, Reese?
I refrain from any political...
issues.
Next one here, guys. We have Liverpool defeating Brighton 2-1. Matt, I do remember this game a little bit, and I do remember Brighton outplaying Liverpool for most of this game. But again, we come back to vintage Mohamed Salah being clinical.
To me, it looked like a repeat of the Arsenal game. Mm. Instead of drawing it, they won it.
Gotcha.
Because they were outplayed for big stretches of the game, and then they got... Mo Salah, basically.
Yeah, Salah with a beautiful goal. It was like his vintage cut in on his left foot, bury it upper 90 far post. Unstoppable. Credit to Liverpool. Now, to me,
quick question. Yeah. Is Mohamed Salah the new Ian Robin? Like, he is inevitable? Like, he's going to score?
I think he is today's generation of it, but like...
Like an aging warrior who has like the two tricks left in his bag, but those, who like, can pull him out.
It's like the most unstoppable trick, which is just the cut in on the left foot. It makes no sense, but each his own.
It just popped in my brain.
Hey, I'm with it.
Just like I had a dream about football, I'll tell you about in stoppage time.
Okay, I'm interested.
I don't think you will be.
Oh God,
I think it's gonna be. It's a dark future.
Okay.
All right, to continue.
I'm excited then. Or I'm not excited then. We'll see.
Well, let me know what you think.
I gotcha. Forest 3, West Ham 0. Chris Wood is inevitable this season. I don't know what happened to Chris Wood in the offseason.
Jamie Vardy. Like he's like the reincarnated Jamie Vardy.
On a whole nother level, man. And
well, yeah, because like Jamie Vardy, Chris Wood has no shithousery.
Yeah, and it's...
Or at least if he does, I don't pick up on it like Jamie.
Well, the shithousery that Chris Wood has is only directed towards at Wolves and Leicester, really, because he has some hatred towards those two teams, but I agree, man.
Man, if they wronged him, they wronged him. It's their problem.
And now they are paying the price. Yes, the poaching that he has had is sensational. West Ham, it's reaching a point where you may have to consider questioning the type of football
you're playing.
What's our coach
again?
Lopetegui.
Lopetegui out!
Okay, I'm with it, man. Edson Alvarez was sent off, but...
You know what? Everyone but Maresca out. God. And Slot. And Areola.
No Pep too? Pep's gone?
Oh, Pep should be gone at the end of the season.
There you go. Credit to Forrest. Into the next one here, guys. Another relegation battle. Southampton gets their first win of the season against Everton 1-0 with Adam Armstrong. Vintage Adam Armstrong in the 85th minute. To get the go-ahead goal. Matt, what were your thoughts?
Remember you and me, I think one of us like picked Everton to win. I think it was me. And I'm like, Everton's got this. And you're like, oh, I think Southampton will get their first win. I think that was you, and I'm impressed.
I don't know if I picked. I don't remember, honestly.
One of us picked against Everton in this. I just can't remember which one of us it was, and I'm pretty sure.
Hey, I'll take the credit if you're off.
I'm giving you the credit, unless you can bring the receipts, which I wouldn't, because you get the credit.
Yeah, fair enough, man. But credit to Southampton. I'm happy for Adam Armstrong. He has been a lifelong striker for Southampton in the Prem, out of the Prem. He is Southampton, much like Jamie Vardy is to Leicester.
Leicester.
Credit to them. Into the last game of the Saturday slate. Excuse me. We have Wolves drawing Palace 2-2. Matt, this game to me was boring.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, Chalobah scoring in the 60th minute. Strand Larsen for Wolves replying in the 67th minute. João Gomes to take the lead for Wolves in the 72nd minute, and then Mark Gahey in the 77th minute.
So I just had a chance to look at the box score for this, so basically what you went over. What I think happened was is that at some point there was an injury stoppage that we missed, and then everyone chugged Red Bulls and went full Vardy mode, because I don't know what happened.
17 minutes of carnage, basically, is what happened in those four goals that were scored. Wolves yet to get their first win on the season, but to be fair to them, they have had statistically the hardest start of schedule in the league this season.
Yeah, I heard some Arsenal fans saying that Arsenal has it. I'm like, no, Wolves has it. We have the second hardest, but Wolves has the hardest. Give them their respect.
Yeah, I don't know who after that, what the strength of schedule was, but it's going to be
Arsenal's second or third. I know they're in the top three. Of the big three, they have the hardest schedule. Gotcha. Liverpool has the easiest, and Man City had the middle.
And we'll see.
Wolves. Big four. I forgot about Chelsea.
Oh, I gotcha. Thanks, man.
And big five, Forest.
Okay. We will have to see where Wolves go from here now that they are sort of out of that tough start, because they've played, I think, 9 out of the 10 teams in the top 10. So I'm very interested to see what they could do now. But credit to both teams here.
And they've handled it pretty good. Like, I'm not in like Lopetegui out mode.
If they can, Gary O'Neill.
No,
if,
like I'm saying for West Ham, I'm Lopetegui. Gotcha. I'm not Gary. I'm Gary. Give Gary a chance.
Yes, sir. I think I'm in the same boat as you. They will pick up wins. It's inevitable. This is a good group of players. Into the Sunday slate, we have, this was the first game of the Sunday slate. Tottenham 4, Aston Villa 1. Matt, this team, Spurs, is like, we are either going to win by 4 or we are going to lose
by 4.
Yes. Right now, their record on the season is 5 wins, 4 losses, and a draw. I think that sums them up perfectly. They are just a team that's willing to go for it and pay the price if they lose.
So let me tell you how I watched this game. So I had to go help a friend buy a car, and I was doing laundry and ready to do chores. I come back from picking up Paco, and I throw my back out. I come home during the middle of this game, and I grab the heating pad. As I lay on the ground, the heating pad starts to warm up. I ask Tom to hand me the television remote. I turn up the volume on this game that had been muted. As I turn up the volume, the first goal goes in for Spurs. And then I'm treated to, as I'm in pain, on my back, waiting for the ibuprofen to kick in, a Spurs class in, like, kicking ass. And it was not... It made the pain worse.
Well, to be fair, it is against another
But they did a very good job doing it, and they looked impressive.
Yes. It's been a while since I've said this, because he's had a pretty rough start to his Spurs career. But he is not Robin Hood the stock lending. He is not Robin Hood from Robin Hood. He is not Cameron Archer from Southampton. He is the Archer, Dominic freaking Solanke. Welcome back, my friend.
What's funny was when he scored the last two times, you weren't here, and I had to do it. And then as soon as you came back, he didn't score.
Yeah, maybe he's got a vendetta for me doing it. Maybe you have to start doing it going forward.
Maybe he's that one English listener we have that's outside of
Dominic,
London.
If it happens to be you, man, just know we freaking love you.
Now he's in London. So, yeah. Okay, we have a couple British London listeners. Maybe he's one of them.
Hey, Dominic,
I don't know where all the rich footballers live in London, so.
Dominic knows that we are big fans of him if he knows we already have. Well, he's the only player that
I'm
have
this.
I'm
a big fan of Bournemouth Solanke.
Don't ruin it. He listens to the show. Don't ruin it.
I acknowledge the existence of Tottenham Solanke, and I hope he does great 36 games out of the year.
There you go. But Villa, again, I think there's issues with that midfield. They only had one shot on goal, and it was the goal that they scored for Morgan Rodgers.
I do love his celebration. It is cool.
Yeah, it is pretty sick. I agree.
Very Oliver Queen.
Yes. Credit to Spurs. Big win for them. Into the last game of the Sunday slate, we have a 1-1 draw between Manchester United and Chelsea. Manchester United were coached by Ruud van Nistelrooy in his interim management position while they wait for Ruben Amorim, who is going to be joining the United squad after the international break. So we will be seeing him in 2 weeks' time, right?
Yeah.
Week and a half, 2 weeks.
Right? Yeah, 2 weeks. I think he's going to coach them during the players that don't go away, but we won't see him on the touchline until 2 weeks.
Indeed.
Because this is the weekend. Yeah, no, it'll be 3 weeks, right?
I hope not.
No, because this week we have games. And then we have a week off, and then
but play. Yeah, I guess 2.5 weeks, basically. But I do have a stoppage time.
A fortnight 0.2, 0.5.
There you go. A fortnight and a half. But I do have a stoppage time topic for us about Mr. Amorim.
Okay. You ready to jump into the preview for this weekend?
We got one last game.
We got to recover Chelsea. Yeah, my bad.
Oh, you're good. You're good. Caicedo with a nice goal, but this was a very evenly matched game. It was a deserved draw for both sides. Into the Monday slate, we have Fulham beating Brentford 2-1. Matt, this game was fun, actually.
I'm glad you got to see the fun parts, because unfortunately I got drawn into a meeting where I had to basically explain to somebody how they made my day difficult by not doing their job so they could get coached up and the proper way to do it. And the meeting started at whatever. When was the first Fulham comeback goal? Because it started, I think,
the 92nd minute.
88 minutes. I remember I had to, I turned off the sound and put the phone down so I wouldn't be distracted because I was doing.
That's painful.
I was doing work. And then I forget the game is on until I go on break and I pick up my phone and they're talking. Rebecca, or who are the three NBC pundits are. I'm like.
And you sent me a text. You're like, what happened?
What happened? Please tell me what happened.
I think to sum it up perfectly, Alex Iwobi posted on Instagram, King Harry Wilson, and one of them was Harry Wilson in like a Nigerian leader gown, like with like the top hat on. So yes, Harry Wilson, you are one with the streets, my friend. That was a crazy comeback and a fun game to end it. I think it was fun even before the goal was scored. Brentford did not offer much. But Fulham were just willing to go for it throughout the entire game. So
that's what I like about Fulham.
Resilient.
This season is that they kind of have that thing we talked about with Luton, but they're a much higher quality squad. Yeah. Fulham is fun to watch.
They arguably just might be the Fulham of last season, where they just give every tough team a go, but they struggle against sort of these lower sides.
But I don't think they'll get relegated.
No.
Yeah.
I had them as my relegation team, and I will admit I was wrong. Prosperly, but
as soon as I saw them sign Smith Rowe, I know Smithy wasn't going down.
I like it, Matt. Let's jump into these previews. What you got for me?
So week 11, Saturday. So the times have changed. We didn't move, but everyone else moved around us here in Arizona. It's a fun thing about America.
Did you?
We
know
just
that?
Decide the time moves.
Yeah, and Arizona just happens to be the main character and doesn't have their time changed.
So, no, well, Hawaii doesn't either, and neither does Alaska.
Can you just let me enjoy this one, though?
But I lived in Hawaii, and I enjoyed it about Hawaii, too. Was the one time I had to deal with it was, I remember, was I was in Mississippi, and I hated it. I'm like, how do people do this for their entire lives?
The sip.
I remember I talked to a guy in New York, and they were about to do it, and I was flying out that day. And he's like, you'll get used to it. I'm like, dude, you've been doing this for 80 years. This is stupid. You live in the city. You're not a farmer.
That is like the one benefit of living in this country and living specifically in Arizona is that your time does not change.
Yeah, we get burnt to a crisp 6 months out of the year, but the other six are really nice and we don't have to change our clocks.
Exactly.
But 8 a.m. slot of games, we start with Southampton at Wolves. I got Wolves getting their first win of the season, 2-0 over the Saints.
I do too, but I do want to say Southampton also won in the Cup recently, so they're on a two-game win streak, but I agree, Wolves 1-0 for me.
Okay. Next up, we have Everton visiting West Ham. I also have Everton winning 2-1.
Interesting game, this. I think Everton will have, or West Ham does have to be on the front foot if they want to win this game. I am going to go with a 2-2 draw. I think it'll be an exciting
game. Fair enough. All right. Next up, we have Bournemouth at Brentford. The Cherry Prince going to face Thomas Frank and the King of Bees.
I think this is one of the more underrated games of the weekend because Brentford, as we both know, has been a team that's very good.
This is the one I want to get up and watch if you aren't going to claim it.
This is all yours, man. But I'm going to go first here. I will say I think Bournemouth are resilient in this one, but I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. And I think Bournemouth score late.
I got 3-2 to the Cherries.
There you go.
All right.
I'm with it.
Next up, another London derby. Fulham travel north of the River Thames to face Crystal Palace. I got resilient Fulham winning this 1-0.
Yeah. It's going to be hard.
Even though I think you're going to go Glasner hello.
No, I agree with you, actually. It's going to be hard to pick Palace until we see them really pick up their form. So I'm going to go with a Fulham 1-0 win as well.
All right. So next up, we move into the 10:30 slate of games. Those were all 8 a.m. in the case I forgot. Manchester City go to Brighton. To the Amex Stadium, the southernmost tip of the Premier League.
So including Champions League, Carabao Cup, and the league, City are on a three-game losing streak, Brighton on a two-game losing streak. Both of these teams do need to get points at right now, especially City if they want to remain in this title race for the long run. I do have to go City. I think they edge it, but I'm going to go 2-1.
I'm going to go 2-2 draw because I think Brighton are better than Porto. That's who they faced in the Champions League? Or no, Sporting Lisbon, apologies.
Yes. Oh, don't disrespect the Portuguese, man.
No, man, I messed up.
The future Manchester United manager, Ruben Amorim, walking into his future dog pound. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry. I know
I couldn't remember which one was green until I was like, wait a minute. No, Porto's like weird blue. Yeah. But yeah, I think that Brighton is better right now than Sporting Lisbon. And minus Gyökeres, he's like a magic talisman. But I kind of think that Brighton's going to go toe-to-toe with them and give them a bloody nose at home.
I got you. What's the next game for
you? All right, last one on Saturday. We have the 1 p.m. Villa travel to Liverpool. So I completely forgot that Spurs just took away the good evening.
Yeah.
And I have this game written down as a 2-2 draw. I think Liverpool probably got to win this 4-0.
Winter is coming.
Ooh, you think?
Step one. Step two. It is going to be nighttime, so it's going to be the long night.
Oh, God.
Step three, it's probably going to be fucking cold in Liverpool because the winter is coming. It's a draw. 1-1.
I really was like, where is he going with this? As the crystals of ice form in Liverpool's veins. It is a cold evening.
I was going to pick Villa to win, but Anfield's too tough a place to play right now.
Yeah. I was thinking of early season Villa minus the Arsenal loss. Yeah. But I couldn't – I saw this story that Jack Grealish called some Villa fans at the pub. And for some reason, I assume they were still undefeated in the Champions League. And I wanted to see how far Arsenal had fallen after losing to Inter. And
they were all so upset.
Yeah, and I was like, they lost to Brest?
Yeah.
They lost to the worst team they played in the Champions League.
Yes, they lost to a female body part. So I think
male chickens have breasts too.
We're going to fight after this. No, I'm kidding.
Guys, I really think we are. I saw a look of I've teased him every now and then on this pod, but the look of pure hatred he gave me for a split second. I really thought I was going to have the mic in my skull. Like a tomahawk. These things are heavy, too, that we have now.
I think the Champions League format is very interesting right now. Just a quick side note.
Have you looked at the teams that are in the orange section that have to go into the playoffs?
Yeah, it's a bloodbath, dude.
Like Manchester City, Arsenal, and Real Madrid are in there.
Yeah, and
Liverpool's top.
How many games is there for this?
It goes to the end of the year. I think it's 8 games.
Is it weekly for the rest of the month?
Yeah, because it's more than a group stage. It's 2 more games in the group stage. And if you end up in the, I keep calling it the orange, but they have the colors like green advances automatically. Orange gets in a playoff and red gets
demoted.
They're done.
Oh, they're done.
Okay. They don't get to go down to the Europa League anymore. That's what
I think. That was the Super League. My bad.
Well, that's what I think will help you is that there's no teams from the Europa League coming into the conference.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no downshift. So your competition is your competition. Whoever's ever in there and your best competition is like a
Fiorentina?
Yeah, like the sixth best team in Italy.
Yeah. what's the next game for us, man?
All right, so we move into the Sunday slate. We start out with Leicester.
Sunday. Sorry.
Sunday, 7 a.m. Leicester at Manchester United in the Theater of Nightmares.
Kind of scared. It felt like I scared you. Just a slight like jump there from you right
kinda.
There.
Kinda.
You like lean back a little bit.
Well, no, I didn't want to laugh into the microphone because my laughs really spike it.
Gotcha.
It tips me into the yellow on our audio, so I didn't want to scare anybody.
Smart guy. Smart guy. What do you have in this match?
I got Manchester United winning 3-2.
Ooh. I think the Ruud van Nistelrooy hype train continues. I think they win as well. I'm going to go with a 2-1 win.
Okay. Another 7 a.m. game. We have Newcastle at Forest.
Now, this game is interesting.
I got Forest winning 3-1.
Okay.
Because they're not at Newcastle's ground. Newcastle may have beat Arsenal, but they did not look impressive at all.
The only thing is, though, is like Newcastle have started to, although they haven't looked good, they are being more resilient in their play. And I think
that's where the one goal comes from.
Yeah, fair enough. But both of these teams, you know, Forest on a 3-game win streak. Newcastle's won 2 in a row. I'm going to go with a 2-1 upset win here. I have Newcastle pulling out a win over the Forest.
Okay. So now, last game of the 7 a.m. slate we have is Ipswich at Spurs. This is the game that I tell you Postecoglou has been waiting for.
Why is that?
Because I think it's going to be like the Russian troops marching on the German lines in the First World War using human wave tactics, where the German machine guns got so hot that they had to take turns stopping firing so like it could Call cool down. Zombies. I think it's going to be 6-0 Spurs.
Is that where zombies originated from? Just the first human wave?
Maybe. I mean,
that's a crazy tactic.
You either went back and got shot, or you went forward and took the chance of getting shot.
That's insane.
That's Tsarist Russia for you, folks.
Hey, respect. Hey, what's your? What was
love respect to the Tsar. Tsar Alexander, you're still my Tsar.
Okay, I'd like to.
You never got Rasputin in my world.
I'd like to take back that what I just said. No, I do not have respect for the Tsar. I more so have put respect on the tactical approach to the attack that they put on Germany.
That Spurs will display on Sunday.
What was your prediction again?
I had 6-0 to Spurs.
Okay, I'm going to go with 3-0 to Spurs.
Okay. All right, last game of the weekend, 9:30 a.m. Sunday. We will be glued to the TV because it is the 4-4-3 derby.
Yes.
Arsenal visit Stamford Bridge to face Maresca and Reese's Chelsea in a bloodbath in West London.
So just quickly looking at the odds, plus 175 for Chelsea to win, plus 145 for Arsenal win, and plus 240 to draw. This is basically saying...
it's going to be a draw.
Yeah, and we don't know how this game's going to turn out as well. So... here's my thought process, you know, with this whole Arsenal sort of lack of form. I sent you a screenshot today of every time Arsenal are in a lack of form, they play Chelsea.
So they just beat the dog took piss me out of them. Like 30 minutes to understand without any writing on the tweet what the man was trying to convey to me.
Yeah, you had to like look into like the dates and stuff going
well
on.
I had to keep, because I couldn't click on them all at once. Oh, I had to keep zooming in because it was on my phone.
Gotcha.
And I'd zoom in, I'd forget what I saw, because it didn't make any sense. There was no context to it. Yeah. And I'd zoom into the next one. And then I went through it again. I go, okay, focus on the bottom, because that's a green color. And then I was like, oh.
Yeah, we're like your nice bat. We're your bounce back team, man. So now there's two things. Cole Palmer is questionable to play this game, it sounds like. I think he does play. Enzo hasn't. He said that he's been having ice on his knee, you know, when Lisandro Martinez literally took his knee out, should have been sent off, but wasn't. We'll see if he plays. I think he does. I am going to lean an Arsenal 2-0 win, and the reasoning for that is I think you guys find that flame. I don't know where. I think my thought process is Odegaard, your captain. But it can go either way.
I got a 2-1 to the Blues. I like how we flipped on this one. We both want our teams to lose.
We're both afraid, I think.
Yeah, because you're touching greatness and we're falling. And it just added more. So let's get into stoppage time.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you this question.
Is this the dark question?
I haven't gotten to the dark dream yet. So Edu Gaspar has left Arsenal to go to a much more interesting project, because... Forest is part of a 3 or 4 team ownership block.
Yes.
It's like the mini one. That's why they're always siding with you guys and with Manchester City and voting. And it's really, people are like, oh, why? But the guy owns 4 football clubs.
Right. But to be fair to Forest and Forest fans, this is a very passionate ownership group for this club. They've invested a lot of money into this team. So yeah, I agree. A very interesting move.
And rumor is he has either salary tripled or quadrupled. And he was not getting paid peanuts at Arsenal. He was paid more than Arteta. I think he was like the highest paid person at Arsenal.
So that is a huge move for Forrest.
That's like your kids' kids will never have to worry about money.
You know what the equivalent of that signing would be? That's like bringing in like your
No, it's Jurgen Klopp to Red Bulls.
Well, I was going to say, like, it's like bringing in, like, Bill Belichick to some team that's on the cusp of breaking their project, breaking through in their project. And that's what we've seen from Forrest is all this money invested in the talent, they're starting to break through into that sort of top.
But my question is, since this has happened, Arsenal have only won against Preston North End and drawn against Liverpool in the last couple of weeks. The only bright spots, losses against Inter, Bournemouth, Newcastle... The times are looking dark. Do you think that Arsenal is crumbling, or do you think this is just all this stuff is bad timing?
Bad timing. it's a weird time to announce that the technical director is that what he is that what the role is?
I wish they had just waited until they won a game.
Or at least just give us until an international break. Not us, sorry, Arsenal fans. Yeah. I don't think...
I also think we are turning each other. Like, I used to feverishly hate Chelsea with a fire in my soul. I still dislike them because they're, like, our greatest London rival next to Spurs. But you guys actually win stuff, so it's infuriating. Yeah. And your fans are kind of dicks. But having to watch them so much with because I like you and you're my friend, I've grown to like players on the team.
Yeah, and... English fans in general are just dicks. So
that
just...
one little kid, I'm not a violent man, but I would pay another kid to punch him.
That's funny.
Is it a crime to pay another kid to fight a kid?
Yes. Oh, okay. It's almost like a murder to hire, but it's like a murder to beat up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Or a beat up to hire. I don't know. But
so if I pay his mother,
let's get back to the stoppage time before this gets bad. What I will say is, I think Edu leaving is bad timing, not more so him leaving before it gets worse. I think this is just a move that was Edu making more money. It's great for his family and for him. Mm-hmm. And I think as long as Arteta has a say into that technical director signing, which most managers do, it'll be more keeping the ship the same.
It might be Per Mertesacker.
Oh, gotcha. Per, is that his nickname?
Yeah. No, it's his first name.
Per?
Yeah. Isn't it Per Mertesacker?
Per. I don't know. Oh. I've never...
Do you have a stoppage time for me before I get into my dream?
Yes. Just really quickly with United, I wanted to just give you guys an idea of sort of the Amorim lineup that we could be seeing with this group.
I'm going to lean back and let you cook.
Yes, because I had a passion project for Ten Hag. I guess I was wrong. I'll take the hit on that one. So let's just look at their last...
No, you were right in what they could do. Ten Hag was right for not actually doing it.
Right. So here's...
Blame him, not you. You've done nothing wrong. He is the problem. So it is him.
Here's what I'm imagining. So Amorim in this current system with Sporting, let's just hypothetically say he takes that same formation tactics and just slaps it on the table for United. You're going to see a 3-3 center-back group. And I think that would be a left center back of Lisandro Martinez, a center back, which could either be Lindelof, Harry Maguire, one of those two center backs, I would say. And then off to the right, I think De Ligt is that
I
right
think Harry
back.
Maguire would work good in a back three because he's not the most mobile guy.
Yeah, and especially in counterattacking situations, you're not relying on him as much. And then in the midfield, you're more so looking at a trio of midfielders with two aggressive wingers, wide wingers, where you get Rashford and Garnacho, obviously, for their wings. And then in the midfield is going to be the interesting one with Ugarte, Casemiro, and Mainu. How are they going to make that work, along with Bruno Fernandes? Because I don't think anyone's taken that striker spot from Højlund or Xerxes. Højlund is the project, and I think that's what Amorim wants to keep. I don't think they're going to be bringing in Gyökeres in January and just completely forgetting about the two strikers they've signed.
Well, because, like, dude, he's still £100 million release clause.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, pay it. Well, you can have him. But if you don't pay it, we're not going to negotiate.
They have no reason to budge because, man, he is worth every bit of
£100 million.
He scored
a hat trick against Manchester City.
Not many players can say that. So, yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting transition for Manchester United. It's a lot different than what they've done in the past because they've typically gone for, quote unquote, project managers. And Amorim may be that. But at Sporting, he was nothing of that. He was a guy that was willing to bring in talented prospects. He brought in Gyökeres from Coventry. He brought in... I'm going to forget his name. He's a winger from Spurs. I'm forgetting his name. And then they have Goncalves, something like that. These are all talented players who were on the team when he signed. And maybe he assisted with the signing of Gyökeres, but this is not a passion project guy. This is a guy that's willing to win, wants to win, and I think he's a very aggressive manager as well. Just a statement on it. Matt, do you have any sort of idea or do you think we see a better United side going forward or do you think it may take a little bit for it to settle in?
I think what we're going to see is he's going to have trouble adjusting to the English winter and we're going to see in probably February when the flowers start to bloom again, he'll start to bloom. And I'm hoping they plan to give him the time so that he can figure this out because Ten Hag is not a stupid guy. He couldn't figure it out.
And I think this...
Like, everyone forgets when they talk about the Pep disciples, he's a Pep disciple. He just is the guy. I think that Manchester United is a worse off than Arsenal was when Emery and Arteta took it over. I think it's a toxic environment, and I think he's going to have to clear. They're going to have to clear some dead weight for him to be able to bring in the players he needs.
The issue is beyond
just, on the field.
Yeah, it's the signings, the scouting. A lot needs to change. I think Emery should help with that.
So you want to hear my dream?
Tell me the darkness, my friend.
Okay, so I'm just going to tell you this.
I'll sit back.
And just let me know what you think. So I have a dream. We're sitting here one weekend, and Leeds United gets purchased by like the ownership group from David Beckham. Okay? Leeds is the team in England for Red Bull. They are the majority owners, but not own everything. So they can't do stuff. So then the next weekend, we get an announcement that Charlton Athletic has been bought by Red Bulls, and it is now Red Bulls London with Jurgen Klopp in top of the first London club to not be named after a neighborhood or not be named after the group of people that formed the club, like Millwall, West Ham, and Arsenal are named after the industries they came from. Chelsea is named after a neighborhood, same with Brentford and Fulham. Crystal Palace is named after a landmark that used to be in London. And I don't know what Tottenham is named for. Maybe that was just some guy drunk, saw a chicken on a basketball and named it. And then Charlton is not named after just a neighborhood. And I'm thinking, and what's the last? Leighton Orient was named after a company that did it, just like the original Manchester United name. But this will be the first club named London something in that was a major team.
Just to confirm, it's RB London.
Yeah, RB London.
That is the club.
Red Bull London, yeah.
It used to be Charleston Athletic.
Charlton Athletic.
Okay, continue.
And that was just my dream. And then, like, everyone was getting mad. And all the fans that we see things of, like that Arsenal guy, the guy who, like, who freaks out all the time. Same with the Liverpool guy and the Manchester United guy. And our friend, the Modern Era, he was, like, saying it was sacrilege. And we were just watching this unfold on social media. For some reason, we were both staring at a phone together. Okay. And it was just, like, I don't know if I'm just the portents of things to come, but Leeds is holding them back from doing that.
I see your vision. And I will say this.
Do you think it's dark?
For
sure. Because nobody's claimed London.
Yes. But, and I think you make a great point that it could be a team like Red Bulls or a group like Red Bulls to do it because
Manchester City group can't do it because they give up their crown jewel of Manchester City.
If you ask any German fan what they think of RB Leipzig, they'll go tell you to do one, mate. But
and Salzburg,
German,
too. Germans do pay attention to the Austrian Bundesliga.
Exactly. So it's going to be very similar. They're going to hate that club. They don't consider it a real club. It's a fake plastic club, quote unquote. That's what they would consider it in the country of England. And if you're calling it RB London, RB London is a little crazy, man.
But dude, is that a weird thing to dream about?
Yeah, I mean, maybe man, you may need to join in that Red Bull group and pitch some ideas, man. We should make ourselves the most hated group in London. This is what we should call them, RB London.
Well, I just want to get this out there on recording so that if it does happen,
we could be one of those people.
We can point to this episode and be, look, this dude is a prophet. It may not be Charlton Athletic, but they just seem like the most obvious because they do have a big stadium. They're in East London. They are down in their luck. They got a lot of debt. I think they got the biggest stadium of any London club outside of the top flight. They're much bigger than Millwall in terms of their stadium. West Ham could be another candidate for it, but Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham couldn't do it. Brentford could be another one.
I don't think it would be a Division I football team. Mm-hmm. I think it would be more of
I think they're in the third tier right now.
Yeah, I think it'd be a second or third tier team that would be doing it, but Matt, do you have any further stoppage time?
No, I just wanted to state my opinion to you because I've had this dream on Wednesday night and I was just, the night before, Tuesday night.
Gotcha. Guys, do not get food poisoning this weekend because we have a lot of football coming up. Don't burn your fingers. Don't blow
throw
your back
at your
out.
Back.
Yeah, just be safe this weekend, guys. Huge weekend of football. Mm-hmm. We will see you next week in a short turnaround. Matt?
Live long, watch some football, lads.